first of all, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Carmen Evia. I'm a psychologist. I'm working in Gameloft. Can you hear me right now? I work in Gameloft as a customer experience designer. Okay. So first of all, I want to say that sorry for my English in advance. So I'm going to try to do my best. And if anyone don't understand something, please don't hesitate to come back to me and ask me whatever you want. Okay. Sorry. Sí. I'm Spanish. So a little bit, yes. what I want to do right here, the first of all is, what I want to do is to break the myth, okay? To break the myth about psychology. Psychology is not something only related of try to heal, you know, mental problems and all of this stuff. It's much more bigger and it's super useful for user experience. But first of all, at the beginning, I want to widespread a belief about psychology. I suppose that you have seen episode one, okay? It's not the best one, but it's okay. If you remember this scene, Qui-Gon Jinn in this scene, he is trying to convince Watto using, you know, Jedi tricks in that case. So that is more or less what a lot of people think that is the role of psychologists in user experience. They think that our role is only try to convince and to persuade the players and everyone to do what we want to do. If that works like that, I will probably be like the queen of everything. So no, it's not work. This is the reality. Waving your hand like a Jedi, mind tricks don't work on me, only money. Okay. If Qui-Gon Jinn has investigated Watto a little bit, he could understand that his only motivation was the money and that this kind of Jedi tricks doesn't work with him. So this is what you have to do. What you have to do is to know your players. You have to know what they want, you have to know what they think, how or which are the processes involved, which are their needs, their really needs, and how to guide them through all the experience and through all the game. So let's go deeper. Okay, let's jump a little bit inside. What obviously in 14 minutes I cannot get into, you know, very deeper into a lot of areas. What I want to try to you to understand, and I'm going to make an overview about the areas that I think that are more important, and for you, the most which ones are the most useful. Okay. First of all, you have to keep in mind and put this information into your head that brain is very lazy. Not on players, you know, all the human beings, we are very lazy. So your mind is always trying to optimize his resources, okay? And he's always looking for shortcuts how to solve that problem that he has in front of him in the most easy way. So you have to facilitate cognitive processes. And it's probably you are going to say that, what the is this? So let's go a little bit deeper, and I am going to talk about the perception and attention. And 90% of a good design lies in understand how the player is processing the information that you are giving to him. Okay. Let's go. I'm going to try to explain an example. This is Mirror's Edge. Okay. I think that you know the game. What they are trying to do is that to make the player understand where he have to go, where he have to go, okay? And they are using this kind of red path that you only need less than 1 second, and you can understand perfectly what do you want to go and where do you want to go. What this is happening? Why? Why red and not another color? Okay. This is one of the explanations. In your eye, you have cells that are called photoreceptors, okay? And you have two kinds. You have the cones and you have the rods. And the cones are very sensitive to color. These cones are divided into red cones. This is a super simplification, okay? But you have to understand you have the red cones, the green cones, and the blue cones. And the red cones, in your eye, this is 64% of the cones. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that my eye, only with less than 1 second, my eye is going to understand and he's going to perceive, like this, the red color. So this is the things that I think that are very, very useful for you. Why? Because players shouldn't spend their cognitive energy during visual processes. Okay? If you want to make a super hardcore game, these cognitive resources have to be used in understanding the statistics or whatever you want to do. But not in these kind of things. These kind of things have to be super quickly. Okay? Another example, what do you think that, for example, in Hitman Absolution and a lot of other games, use this kind of, you know, triangle that change the color, the movements, okay? Why? Because you have this part of the brain that is the first stop of the visual information, okay? This is called the preattentional, the visual cortex. It's like, more or less like this here, okay? What is happening here? What is happening is like this is analyzing the size of the things that you are showing. The color, the depth, the motion, the form, and the orientation. What does it mean? It's like you are assembling different things. Okay? An example. I'm walking through the street and then I suddenly jump because I think that I have sun and spider. Happens to you? I think that all the time. Like, what is this? It's only hair. Okay? Can you put that in your head? What is happening? Exactly this preattentional vision. You are seeing things even if you are not conscious that you are seeing it. So you have to choose this kind of elements to try the player to understand what is happening even without knowing that he's perceiving it. Okay, I'm explaining myself because maybe this is a little bit. So this is how in this game they are telling the player, hey, be careful because you have an enemy that is watching you. So be careful. But you are in the game. You are thinking in another stuff. So please be focused on simplicity. Okay? Not try to overcrowd the screen, don't try to do very complicated things because it's not going to work. And it's super important in free-to-play games because they are going to spend like less than 1 minute, they are going to think, oh, this is super difficult, I'm going to throw it away. And that's how it works. I'm going to talk about the gestalt loss. I don't know if anyone knows about this, but it's more or less explanation about how people organize visual elements. I'm not going to get into very deeper here, but I only going to talk about this in a very general way. You have the first one, and it's a figure ground, okay? Even if a device and a video game is flat, you are seeing in 3D, okay? So what is happening? That you are always going to think or to see one element as the figure and the other element as the background. Depending, you are going to see one or another. But you are always going to see one element as a figure and the other one as the background, okay? So please, I'm begging you because I work a lot with the designers and with artists and you want to put everything on the screen. Everything. All information is super important and everything has to be very super beautiful, okay? And it's not. So please, you have to prioritize the elements and add the details to the important ones. Here in Mortal Kombat, put the details in the main characters and the background, so have a little bit, you know, without all the details in the background, because, okay, it has to be look very good, but it has to be very very easy to see and to understand, the most important thing. The second one is closure. The closure means that if you have different elements, your brain is going to try to, you know, make a simple figure in this case. Are you seeing a triangle here? No, there is not. It's your brain that is telling you, ah, for me, it's more easy to see a triangle than to see three different Pac-Mans, you know, floating on the screen. So very important, it comes very handy when designing mobile games, because you don't have any space. It's like, more or less like this, it's very tiny. So you have to be very careful about how you organize information, and that information don't have to, you know, lose the meaning. This, it has to be a card, even if it's covering, you know, with cards. Continuation. This is super simple. We used to always try to follow a pattern and to follow a line, okay? So here, again, in mobile games, super important. These laws are super important. Why? Because here your brain is understanding that this follows. That this is, you know, that you, this is not the end. This is only a part of a line. So you have to play with these kind of things. The second one is proximity. Proximity means that the elements that are close together are felt that they are connected. So please, lines, frames, everything that you want to, you know, to put all the information in boxes. That only means that you're breaking the eye flow. Every time, as I explained you, all the elements that are in the screens, your brain have to say, okay, what is this? Okay, this is a frame. What is this? Okay, this is a word. What does it mean? Okay, this word means this kind of thing. So you are adding a lot of processes. So here, you can understand very easily that you have one, two, and three types of information. Only without what? Without lines, without boxes, without anything. Okay, so this is very important. Similarity, the elements that are similar to each other. What similar means? Similar means that they have to be the same. For example, the same color, the same form, okay, the same size. So here you can understand very easily that the orange elements are connected and the green ones are connected. You don't have to put everything, you know, or have different filters or whatever. You are going to understand very easily what is happening there. Only using the color. What is the next area? The next area is the neuropsychology. Okay, the neuropsychology is the science that tries to analyze what is the brain functionality and how is the structure of the brain and how these elements are connected with our behaviors, okay? And you will probably say, okay, this is very cool, but for me, I don't really care. Yes, you care. You care. Why? Because this is your reward pathway. As Amy Farrah Fowler, that I suppose that you know, says in the Big Bang Theory, this like, if you let me pierce your brain with a hot needle in the right place, you will be happy all the time. Why? Because that needle goes there in the nucleus accumbens. That is the main part of this reward pathway. What does it mean? That means that every time that you give your player a reward, you are activating and generating dopamine in this part of the brain. Your brain, your player's brain is saying, oh, what is happening here? I like it. So wait a second. Let's be focused. Pay all your attention on what is happening here, and remember, because I really want to this to happen again. Okay. So this is what you want, and this is cool, but this is even cooler. Okay. You have to understand this. Near misses or losses that were close to being wins can provide reinforcement even in the absence of a win. That means that this is your tip. Let the players win and be reinforced even if he has lost. Why? How? Why do you think I know that then there is a designer for King. So what do you think that King is doing this thing? You are running out of movement. You don't have anything else, okay? So they increase the time of the your score growing up. I think that you everyone have played Candy Crush, right? Because only at least for trying. Okay, when you are running out of moves, your score can keep increasing with this animation. This animation, this is happening that you have this kind of physics that increase. You are not doing anything, but your score is keep increasing. Only, I don't know how much time it can be, 3 seconds or something like that. You will probably are not going to win. But this moment is very similar to this moment in slot machines that is like, come on, only one more. I almost there. What is happening? You're putting the needle here. Come on, you like it. You like, okay? More or less is like that. So that is the thing. So this is super important. Make the player wins even if he has lost. Ooh, I'm very bad. Okay, you have then the emotions. Emotions are not only related, okay, with to be happy or not. So very, very quickly, here in Beyond Two Souls, I am not going to spoil anyone, but this is a tutorial. Okay, this is a tutorial. During the tutorial, you are going to learn very quickly that you are doing something that is making Ellen Page suffering a lot. I'm not going to say anything else. What emotion here is super important. One, because emotions increase your memory. It helps to remember, okay, if you connect these two things. So what is going to happen? If you are seeing this, believe me, you are not going to forget, don't do that again. Okay. Second, obviously, emotions helps with immersion. Emotion keeps the player into the story. Are very contagious. If I'm smiling, or if you see someone that is laughing, you are going to smile too. Exactly the same with fear and with all the emotions. So if you are seeing someone that is suffering, you're going to suffer too. So you have to be very careful about that. Engagement. Emotions help the players to be more related and to feel more connected with your characters, okay? And ready for action. If I'm fearing, I'm going to react very quickly. So you have to take into account for this thing. You have to be very careful where to place their emotion, because you have to create, it's like a song. You have to create an experience. You cannot put everything in 5 minutes, because if you put fear, for example, during more than 10 minutes in a game, probably your player is going to have a heart attack, and we don't want that. So you have to be very careful in how to place and how to create that flow. And also, video games can be very relaxing. Again, taking, and as we are, I was talking to about Candy Crush, there are a lot of games and a lot of premium games that the players, what the players only want is to go away, to forget about everything. I don't want to spend any cognitive resources. I don't want to do anything more than move the candies and spend the time and waste my time. So you have to think very carefully about what or which emotions I want to put into the player, because it's it don't have to be everything about wars and drama and these kind of things, okay? The second one is the memory. This is a huge area, so I'm going to talk about one concrete example. But memory is not only about short-term memory and long-term memory. That's all. No. There is, for example, a lot of classification. Episodic memory, semantic memory, procedural. I cannot say that in English, but this is okay. this is one example. What do you think that, for example, in IEPs, you don't have more than 5 at top 6 elements? Why? Because your memory is very limited. You have one of your memories is called a working memory. In this working memory, you cannot put there more than 5 elements at the same time. Okay? So what do you need here? What do you need is to let the players to compare the different packs and to have that in mind to make that decision. So let the players hold and compare the information. To know that your players cannot hold in your memory more than 5 elements, I'm going to tell you that in this case, don't put more than 5 elements in the box, in the shop. And another thing I think that is very interesting, the more senses involved in the memory, the better. For example, Deus Ex is not the best example for a tutorial. That's, I think that is everyone knows. But what they do very well is that they use text, videos, and also auditive information to make the to give the player that that information that he needs in the moment. Okay? So that is, I think that is very, very useful. Social psychology, more or less, okay. The social psychology. Psychologists have been studying how the people behaves in groups and how societies works and everything since ever. So this is a huge, a very important area for this, for how to create communities. Okay. I'm going to do like a general overview, and I want to give you some tips. Okay. How I can make the player join a clan, for example. Games, you have to think that games as World of Warcraft are created based on all of this science, in this science. Self-efficacy is a psychology concept that means that you have to make the player think that yes, you can. If I'm a beginner, I'm not going to join or I'm not going to participate into an event because I will probably going to think that I'm going to lose. So, for example, you have to create a leaderboard only for beginners, and then okay, if you improve, you're going to go to the next one, and then if you improve, you're going to go to the next one. This is very important. You have to make the players think that they can. The second one is how to motivate. You have to motivate, give them a reason. Super simple, special benefits. If you join this clan, you're going to win some items that are specific, and you can only reach and get it here if you join a clan. If not, you're not going to get it. Similarity. This is exactly the same as in real life. If I go into a party, for example, and I don't know anyone, I will probably be more comfortable between people that are more or less like me, or that I think that we can have the same, you know, we can like the same things. So this is exactly the same. That's the reason of, for example, it's very useful to use a Facebook. If someone that is a friend of mine tell me, hey, join this claim because I'm on it, I'm going to say, oh, that's okay. Okay, the second one. The levels and the friends is exactly the same. Then the scarcity. This is a principle of persuasion. Yes, of course. We do that too. And that is very common in marketing. This is your last stop, your last spot. For example, if a clan, you only have 5 members in a clan, okay? Everything is covered, but not the last spot. So it's only your last chance. You have only one chance. So hurry up, come on. This is like an offer in marketing, exactly the same. And then, this is a thing that this is very important, the fear of missing out. Everyone is here, and you start a game, okay? And everyone is joining a clan. Everyone is in a community, and you are going to have this feeling. Maybe I'm losing something. Maybe I'm going to missing out some experience. So I'm going to join. Let's see what happens. Then how to make the players participate? Because one thing, okay, it's very easy to make a player to join my community or to join my group, but not to make them participate. That is very difficult. So you have to create a sense of belonging. For example, you give a concrete player a concrete task, or a concrete group a concrete task. Okay, you have to do, I don't know, you have to reach this achievement, for example. You have to give the player the responsibility to do that. And this is also important, the self-esteem, especially skills. If I'm in World of Warcraft and my guild or my clan, I'm the only one that can heal the rest of my colleagues, I'm going to have that responsibility. And if we have a goal or an achievement to reach or a mission, I'm going to say to myself, okay, I cannot avoid this mission. I have to go because I'm the only one that have that power to go there. So that feeling of, yes, they need me, is what you want. And that's how you are going to try to make them to participate. Hierarchy is very important, and also to have a leader that they have to have the responsibility. And another thing is that you need a leader to give these kind of things, that is the honor, the social rewards. It's not always, and it's not everything about to give the player items. Sometimes, and more important in communities, it's even more rewarding to give or to promote a player in the clan, this kind of social reward, than to give him a special sword. It's like, okay, it can be useful, but this is even more rewarding. Do you remember the rewarding pathway? But this kind of social rewards are very, very useful. And then, how to make them to feel that the commitment that my clan needs me. The common enemy effect, I think that everyone knows this. Okay, I'm in a clan, and I have and I'm always fighting against another clan. But wait a minute, suddenly we have a common enemy. We are going to join us. You're going to, you know, merge our clans and try to fight against this enemy. So this helps with commitment. You have to facilitate the interaction. You have to give your players a place to talk about the game, to talk about their lives, to talk about whatever, because you need to make and to create connections between the players. Then I think that is very important for create this kind of commitment and responsibility to let the groups to create their own rules, okay? Customize, put your clan icon in everything, okay? Give the player this kind of commitment, which is clan. And then the size. And here there's a lot of science on that. Okay, it's very cool and it can be very useful if you have a clan that they have, I don't know, like 100 members, okay? But if in smaller groups, you can create a more powerful boundaries between the players. So that is even more important than to have a lot of skills, to have a lot of players with different skills. So let's go to motivation. I'm going to talk about a theory that is called the self-determination theory of Desi and Ryan. It's a psychology theory. They talk about three different things. This is huge. I'm only going to give you the three names and that's all, because I think that I'm more or less very bad in time. But what you need is not only, again, to give items and to give your players external rewards. What do you need is to make the player to have an intrinsic motivation, to make the player really want to play. And for that, you need reach these three achievements. You have to give the player the competence. I mean, you have to create and to make the player feel that he is mastery the game. To have a lot of skills, to improve, and to learn. That's all. The second is the connection or relatedness. You have to make the player feel connected with the characters and with the story, and to create immersion in the game. And then, autonomy. You have to make the player think that, felt that he is in control of the game. that he is not all only following a path. No, that my decisions have a clear consequences in the game. That is even more powerful than all the graphics or everything that you want to put it. This thing, the autonomy. The learning, super important, for example, in tutorials. Okay, this is my Rosetta again. I think that this game is very cool, as you can see. I'm going to give you four tips to create a tutorial, a good tutorial, related to how your players learn. One thing, you have to create a very clear chunks, that is blocks of information, very clear, and you have to, how I can say that? You cannot let the player pass from one chunk to another without, how can I say that? Without confirm that they have learned that information, okay? Imitation. Kids and even adults learn like this. We see others doing one thing and we repeat that. Okay, so for example, here in Mirror's Edge, they do that. You can see your partner doing an action and you have to repeat it. So this helps a lot. The second is what I already have told you, the see and hear. The more sensors involved in the learning, the better. Okay, and the second, the last one is that you have to make that learning contextually relevant. You cannot create a tutorial that is apart from the gameplay and then to put the player there. No, you have to make the player learn in the gameplay. I'm almost there. Human development. Why this is very important? Because each age have different needs. And when you grow up, you have a development milestones. That means that, for example, if you are creating a game for kids, you have to understand that, for example, a 2 years or 2 year old kid, if they see a button, for example, blinking and moving and doing a lot of things, they are going to think that that's the only behavior that the button has. They are not going to click it. Okay, so you have to understand which are the cognitive milestone in each age and create following that path. Because if not, it's going to be useless. Maybe I'm going to think that, okay, the kids likes a lot of colors, so I'm going to put everything there. You can see a lot of apps for kids that can create epilepsy following that. And then another thing, it's like, okay, so I have to grab kids' attention with movement, with color, with blinking, with everything. So kids with less than 4 years old, more or less, they're going to think that that's what the app is doing or can do, and they are not going to do anything because they are not going to understand that. Another thing is that tactile devices are very useful for kids because their behaviors have a clear consequence in the device. That's one thing. And the other thing, that due to his motor skills, okay, they are very, very, they feel that they are very comfortable with tactile devices. Decision making, again, huge area. I'm going to talk about you two things, okay, that you have to take a look, because I don't have time. The dual process theory from Kahneman, if you want to read a very interesting book that I think that can help you a lot, is the Think Fast and Slow from Kahneman. Okay, he explains very well how people make decisions. What is useful for you? Because you can try to make the player follow the decision that you want the player to do. Okay, and the second one is this area, this science that is called behavioral economics. That this science can give you a lot of tips and a lot of information of how display and how to which kind of. I'm going to talk about this. I think that this is more clear. Do you really think that, for example, here in Los Simpsons, they are using donuts because they look nice. It's not. They are doing because of a clear reason. Another thing. Do you think that the order or the packs are random? No, it's not. So these two science and these two areas explain these kind of things. And I'm not going to talk about anything else here because I don't have time. Then you have the operand conditional, okay? This is only means that carrots and stick, this typical, you know, game design idea, and this approach is not enough. Why? Because it's not only about how give the player reinforcements, you know, carrots or sticks, or punish it, or to punish the player. You have to have a very clear understanding about how or which kind of rewards you have to give to the player, when, in what moment, etc., etc., etc. Okay. And the last thing that I want to talk about is that items are not essential. I know that I have said this over the whole talk, but this is very important. For example, here in Rayman Origin is a very, very rewarding game because of the colors, because of the feelings of the characters, because of the animation, everything. Everything makes the reward pathway, you know, releasing the reward pathway dopamine. So you are rewarding the player even without giving them items, okay? So you have to keep that in mind. That's the reason, one of the reasons that, for example, art is super important. So thank you very much. I don't know if we have time for...